At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, hope everybody's having a good weekend. It's Tony Bruschi, and this is our Week in Review, where we take a look back at some of our most compelling segments of the week. Give you a chance to re-listen or catch up on stuff that maybe you missed. Enjoy.
This is a podcast that seeks justice. Justice for the lives stolen by those in society that hide amongst us every day. Hidden in our towns, cities, and countrysides, the places that we work, and sometimes in our very own homes. This is Hidden Killers.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thank you for listening. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our discussions and updates on the cases that we're following for you. Alec Murdaugh, what we're still talking about here with a friend of Scott Roeder of Evidence Room and Forensic Reconstruction. I want to ask you this. I know it's not quite a forensic question, but it's more so just an evaluation of character type question. When Alec has been having conversations with the police, specifically in the cruiser. They've been asking him, well, what's been going on in your life professionally? What's happening here and there? And we know that within 24 hours of this thing happening, he was being confronted at work about the financial crimes. Now, I understand you're not going to go to the police and go, well, I've been stealing a bunch of money from my workplace, and now they're finally catching on to it. But they are likely going to look into this a little bit to see if your story adds up. Was he thinking by not saying anything about it? Because he's telling him, oh, we got this case coming up and that case coming up. Things are going good. And I don't know. I mean, is it just me to think, well, you know, there's some things going on right now, then some misunderstandings that we're trying to shore up. But, you know, and you could just leave it at that. You don't necessarily need to go into great detail with the officers, but it immediately creates a kink in the story. Is he assuming that they're just never going to follow up on anything that he's telling them? And because he's Alec Murdaugh, that's just how it's going to go? Because financial difficulties at work don't necessarily equate to murder or motive in murder. Unless, of course, you're Alec Murdaugh.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's not, you know, like I said, this kind of a guy, he's not going to lay all his cards on the table and give everybody, you know, right out the gate. He's, you know, trying to act normal. His way of acting normal is, I got to talk about work. I work is fine. Everything's great. When really, you know, his whole world is crumbling down and he is just trying to move forward and get out of it. He's not showing any natural emotion for this. You know, I think that there's also accusations of, you know, him being in, you know, severe state of addiction to some kind of a drug. I don't know if that was heroin or something else, but
opiates,
you know, opiates.
Yeah, opiates.
You know, it's a mentally disabled individual parading as a predator and then also parading as a businessman, lawyer, family. When, you know, this guy's just everything he touches just, you know, turns to some sort of you know, disease situation. So,
I mean, is he assuming at that point that they're never going to find out? Because if you're being questioned by the police, you would think they're going to dig into this. So I better, you know, be honest and they'll find something. Maybe you don't go into all the financial details of how much you stole because it's pretty crazy. But is he just continually assuming that he can say whatever he wants and no one will be the wiser to it, and they won't dig? Is that what he's just going through with his mind?
Yeah, I think he's just trying to, you know, but that's a survival tactic as well. Mm-hmm. Just pretend like everything's okay. And that's what he's got to do. You know, meanwhile, you know, I think he's guilty of multiple crimes that he's not even being prosecuted for at this time. even if he gets a not guilty verdict, which I'm not saying anything's impossible in this world, we've seen some pretty crazy things happen. So I wouldn't put it by anybody. I haven't done a jury profile to see who's sitting on the jury. Certainly you and I are not sitting on the jury, and they're not playing to that. They're playing to these people from this town in this local district, and they all know each other. So it's a different thing when you got to make a decision in a town that you continue to live in versus, you and I we're not affected by this at all. We don't have to see these people at the grocery store or at the police department. It doesn't matter to us, but those people on the jury do. And I'm sure that might play a factor in how they're evaluating these people that seem to be in all areas of this community. And, this family and their compadres are very influential and will be after this time. So yeah. The jury's looking at that, and whether they make a conscious decision or it's subconscious, they have to live there, and they're thinking about that.
That's a very interesting point, and something that I think a lot of us don't take into account is this is not a large community, and the cult of Murdaugh runs deep. It's not just Alec, and if you are one of those jurors that votes to find him guilty, you do have to keep living there. And if you know the history of this family, or even just, a little bit about this family, they seem to take revenge in a lot of cases. And
look at that kid Buster.
Yeah. I don't know that I would want, would you want to be the one, would you want to sit there and go, I'm going to vote, or I'm going to find this man guilty, and then the rest of my life I need to be watching my back? Why would I want to ruin my life just so this guy, can go to jail or whatever? I'd rather not have all that. I'd rather just you go away. Sucks I was on this jury, but I don't want to ruin my life for that. I would imagine that is going through the mind of some people on that jury.
Yeah, I would agree with you. These are small towns. Everybody knows each other. If I was the people involved in the court, the bailiff, the judge, you really want to make sure these jurors are protected. Mm-hmm. But those lawyers have everybody's name, address, phone number, and a full background on everybody on that jury and everybody that they're related to and every job that they work at. Mm-hmm. And, you want to be careful that people like this with a lot of resources don't go behind the scenes and try to influence people parallel to people on the jury to do second, third hand influence. Yeah. And I wouldn't put it by anybody in this case. It's just quite the situation of this isolated pocket that, dare I say, I think there's a lot of Murdaugh families out there and a lot of small towns, and there's been like that for a long time. And I think it's not going to be that much longer before we see something like this again.
I completely agree. One thing that just came out this morning, lead prosecutor Creighton Waters wanted to argue for more evidence to come before the jury. They wanted to present the evidence related to the bizarre incident over Labor Day in 2021 after Murdaugh was fired from his law firm. Murdaugh initially told investigators that he was shot by a stranger, but ultimately then acknowledged that he had asked someone to kill him for the life insurance payout for his surviving son. I think a lot of us thought this would go in front of the jury. Prosecutors believed the initial story was part of a plan to tie the shooting to the murders of his wife and son and convince the world that both were the work of unknown assailants. Defense attorney arguing the incident was a suicide attempt in response to Murdaugh's firing, and he admitted what actually happened when he believed it might detract from the search for the real killers. The judge today has allowed other testimony about Murdaugh's obviously alleged financial crimes, but decided not to allow more evidence about the roadside incident, as he called it. Is this a fair call in this case, that the fake suicide doesn't go into the mind of the jury?
I think that's a bad call. I think if I'm the prosecutor, I want that fake suicide, or I hear people call it unalived. I don't understand what that's about, but But they, I think if I'm the prosecutor, I want that fake suicide in there because it goes two ways, right? You could either argue, hey, it's a fake suicide and that, or it's a real suicide attempt. And that shows, guilt of conscience, right? Mm-hmm. Or it's a fake suicide, which shows strategic intention to mislead. Mm-hmm. I think both ways, that fake suicide or actual suicide attempt, I think you want that in front of the jury. And if you're the defense, I don't think you want to talk about that. I think that's a herring. I would want the jury to hear about that because I feel as a prosecutor, if I was a lawyer in there, I could spin that any way I want. And I think both of them cut Murdoch.
Scott Rutter, Forensic Reconstruction and Evidence Room, LLC. Thank you so much for your insight into the case. Always a pleasure having you on as a guest. If you like the show, press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our breaking updates and discussions on everything that we're following for you right here. You can follow me on Twitter at Tony B Pod. Until next time, for all of us, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.